If you were to ask a typical American what they think of when they hear the word Thanksgiving, what do you think they would say? Many would probably answer football. It's true. There are several football games that you can watch throughout the day. Others might say family. And in fact, the day before Thanksgiving is the busiest travel day of the year as people travel to be with family. All around the country and even beyond. There may be a few people who think of parades. This year, 3.5 million people will attend the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and close to 30 million will watch it from home. However, the most popular answer you might receive would likely involve food. I think it's safe to say that food served at a Thanksgiving meal is the one thing that most of us look forward to the whole year. Perhaps your table will look something like this, with turkey and mashed potatoes and gravy and stuffing and green bean casserole, pumpkin pie, and many other scrumptious dishes. Or perhaps your family tradition includes this tasty treat. Lutefisk. I'm getting mixed results up here. But anyway, in any event, recipes often passed down in the family for years will be brought out to make this Thanksgiving's meal the best ever. All these things, football, parades, family, food, they're all good things, especially the turkey. But as Christians, there's something more important that should be at the top of our list this week as we look forward to Thanksgiving Day. For Christians, the season of Thanksgiving should be about, wait for it, Thanksgiving. So, with that in mind, I've titled my message, The Best Recipe for Thanksgiving. Now, Patty has already read from Psalm 100, which is the portion I'm going to look at today. I encourage you to open to that, but I'm not going to take time to read that again. She's read it for you, but I would encourage you to open to Psalm 100 if you have your Bibles. And although this is a fairly short psalm, it's become one of the most recognized and most beloved chapters in the Bible. Let's pray as we get into this lesson. Lord, thank you for this, for your word. That your word is truth, and today may it impact us in a way that we've not had a great way has been to us. Lord, thank you for your word, and may it impact in a way not thought of or as had a great way to you. In your name, amen. What's that right for them? Well, let's look at verse 1, where it says, make a joyfulness to the Lord, all the earth. So the first ingredient is to make a joyful noise to the Lord. So what do you think of when you think about the phrase, a joyful noise? Well, I think of singing. More specifically, I think about a large, gifted choir singing the Hallelujah Chorus. If you've ever experienced something like that, you will likely agree. When I was doing work for this, I was putting it up. I got distracted as I watched and listened to that beautiful music. It sends chills down throughout my whole body. The word noise in verse 1 is almost unfortunate because it actually could be translated sound. Several years ago, Deb and I attended a Lori Lyon Christmas concert at NIAC, and Lori Lyon is a very talented and very accomplished pianist, and it was almost completely an instrumental presentation until about halfway through the evening when Lori brought out a guest soloist, a female soloist, to sing O Holy Night as she accompanied her on the piano. It was one of the most beautiful things I have ever heard. By the time she reached the end of the songs, I had tears running down my face. I thought it must be like listening to the angels in heaven. A few weeks ago, we were treated to a joyful noise as our Sunday school kids sang the Hippo Song with all the energy they could muster. But is it possible that making a joyful noise isn't limited to singing? What about a newborn baby crying? If that isn't a joyful noise, I'm not sure what is. Now, perhaps a few weeks later, it is a lot less joyful. But boy, when they're first born and you hear him crying, it's a joyful noise. But take a good look at the rest of verse 1. Those last three words, all the earth, are often overlooked. You see, it isn't just people who are to make a joyful noise. In fact, the whole earth, all of creation is directed to join in. So the robins outside my window on an early May morning are making a joyful noise. The geese flying south in the fall are making a joyful noise. The waves crashing on the rocks at South Point in Hawaii are making a joyful noise. A few years ago, we took a trip to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, Deb and I. We must have visited 15 waterfalls, each of them very unique, and each of them making a joyful noise. And on that same trip, we went to Whitefish Point to tour the shipwreck museum. It was a beautiful and unusually calm day. Kind of ironic, given that the shipwreck museum was located there, but it was beautiful and calm day. We sat along Lake Superior for quite a while, listening to the water gently lapping up on the rocky beach. Even that soft, gentle sound is a joyful noise. In verse 1, all creation is to praise its creator with a joyful noise. In Luke 19, 39 and 40, it says, "And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teachers, rebuke your disciples.' And he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out in praise.'" Let's continue. So that's the first ingredient for Thanksgiving. Now let's continue in verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. So the second thing needed for the best recipe for Thanksgiving is to serve the Lord with gladness. Have you ever considered serving the Lord? Is a praise to God? But not just serving, any kind of serving. It's serving the Lord with gladness, joyfully serving. We know we are joyfully serving when we look at it as an opportunity, not an obligation. A blessing, not a burden. A privilege, not a pain. We can serve the Lord in our church. We can serve the Lord in our home. We can serve the Lord in our community. And we can serve the Lord in our world. How and where you serve God is between you and him. But one thing is for sure, when we serve God's children, we are serving him. And if you're looking for opportunities to serve here at the church, I know a couple of elders who would be glad to direct you in some ideas. But the key question is this: are you serving the Lord today, or do you prefer to just be served? Galatians 5:13 says, and 14 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, the whole law included, that's the stuff of the second table, the second part of the first part being, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God," and yet the whole law summed up in one word: love the neighbor yourself. That's why we serve our neighbor, serving the Lord. Also says 2 Corinthians 5:15, "Died all those who might no longer live themselves, but him who first died and was raised." The beginning for the rest of Thanksgiving is to serve the Lord glad. Thomas continues in verse 3. "Know the Lord God, he is and are his. We are his people and sheep of his pasture." The third ingredient for the best of being for Thanksgiving is to know that the Lord God. Now in this verse, the word "know" is not head knowledge, although that's important enough, and very important actually. Your know is much deeper than that. Intern, meaning to be completely and fully connected to someone. Verse 3 explains God's perspective as it continues with, "It is he who made us, and we are his." Okay? We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. God has made us in his image. There are no accidents. Psalm 39:13 says, You were formed in another in my mother's womb. God created us, and he knows us to live. But in and out we are supposed to be the sheep of his pasture. Maybe it rains a little bit. I terrible good shepherd, Lee 99, he goes certain for what was lost and lost sheep. For we created, possess God is to know God. And what he's in return from us is just us to know him. Not just with head knowledge, but with all our being. Paul puts it this way in Philippians 3, 8 through 11. Indeed, I count every loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Yes, the best recipe for thanksgiving must also include knowing that the Lord is God. The final ingredient for the best recipe for thanksgiving is found in verse 4. As I turn back to that, and it's a very important ingredient. You enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. That very important ingredient is thanksgiving. When the psalmist says to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, he's literally talking about walking through the entrance into the courtyard that surrounded the tabernacle the Israelites had on first temple was built by Solomon, King Solomon. It was about 75 feet by 100 feet long, 75 feet wide by 100 feet. The tabernacle consisted of an enclosed tent which held the holies. From this place, the high priest could enter once a year an adjacent room called the Most Holy Place. And this Most Holy Place was the located presence of God prior to Solomon's temple. And you can kind of see the little fog, that cloud that is above the end of that tent is kind of trying to show you that that was where God was located. The courtyard was the closest the average man could get to the presence of God. Today, though, as Christians, we are always in his presence as God dwells within his people. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, "Do you not know that you are was built by Solomon, King Solomon?" It was about 75 feet by 100 feet long, 75 feet wide by 100 feet long. The tabernacle consisted of an enclosed tent which held the holy place. From this holy place, the high priest could then enter once a year an adjacent room called the Most Holy Place. And this Most Holy Place was the located presence of God prior to Solomon's temple. And you can kind of see the little fog, that cloud that is above the end of that tent is kind of trying to show you that that was where God was located. The courtyard was the closest the average man could get to the presence of God. Today, though, as Christians, we are always in his presence as God dwells within his people. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" So we don't have to come to Bethel to meet with God, although I'm glad that you do come here to meet with his people. But we don't have to do it just because this is the only place we can meet with God. No, that's not it at all. When it says in verse 4 to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, it's not talking about some action that we do when we walk in the front door of a church. Instead, it means that our lives, our very existence, should be the embodiment of thanksgiving. Because God lives within us, he desires us to have a constant attitude of thanksgiving. Something that it isn't what we do, but it's who we are. So then out of that lifestyle of thanksgiving, we naturally act out that attitude by giving thanks to him and blessing his name. If you want the best recipe for thanksgiving, a life of thanksgiving must be included to have the proper blend of ingredients. So how does Psalm 100 conclude? Verse 5 says this: "For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." What a great way to sum up the importance of thanksgiving. The Lord is good. Such a simple statement, and yet incredibly profound. Steadfast love endures forever. His love is immovable and will never end. His faithfulness to all generations. He is as faithful today as he was to Abraham, Jacob, David, and the rest of his people down through the ages. Do you want the best recipe for Thanksgiving this year? My suggestion would be to follow Psalm 100 and begin with, make a joyful noise. Then add, serve the Lord with gladness. Make sure to know the Lord is God. And mix together with a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Have a wonderful and joyful Thanksgiving. Amen.